Good morning, WCC. All right, you're here. That's good. Anybody kind of blown away that it's already mid-July? I know, it's crazy. I was looking at the calendar. The kids go back to school in 3.5 weeks. I know. I'm not supposed to bring it up. I'm sorry. Well, hey, my name is Greg Demopoulos. I have the privilege of serving as our community outreach pastor. Just want to take a moment to welcome all of you, those of you watching online and those of you here in the auditorium. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to WCC, we'd love to meet you at some point. In fact, actually, today is a great day to do that because we host our monthly Coffee and Connection gathering. That's right after the service. It's upstairs on the second floor, just above the cafe area there. It's a great way to learn more about the church, to meet some of our staff and key volunteers. So if you want to check that out after the service, please do. At the very least, we ask that you fill out a connection card. Let us know that you joined us today. You can do that online through the WCC app, or if you want to stop out at the info center after the service, we've got a little gift bag just as a way of saying thank you for being here. A few announcements that I just want to touch base on. Next Sunday, July 20th, during this service, okay, so you'd have to go to a different service, but we have an informational meeting on Stephen Ministry. It's called Discovering Stephen Ministry. If you have a gift of encouragement or caring or mercy, things like that, there are many times where our pastoral staff is limited in their availability, and we need more people to step in to provide some of that spiritual encouragement, emotional care to folks. And so maybe that's a way for you to use those gifts to serve others, okay? So that's Discovering Stephen Ministry next Sunday. Then Sunday, August 3rd, just a reminder, that is our baptism celebration. Awesome, right? Yes. And it is going to be a great day because we're going back out to the pond, okay? So just a reminder, it's one service that day, a family-friendly service. There's no Sunlight Children's programming, so make sure to bring the kids, grab a blanket or some chairs, find your spot on the hillside. We're going to celebrate with those that are being baptized, and then be sure to stick around afterwards because we're going to serve lunch. We're going to have games, some fun activities to participate in, so it's going to be a great Sunday. If you want to be baptized or you want to learn more about baptism, we've got baptism classes coming up later this month, so make sure that you sign up for those, all right? I'm not trying to bring up a sore subject. You know how I said kids go back to school in 3.5 weeks? I'm sorry to bring that up again, but I'm excited because that means our back-to-school support drive is going on, and here's why. We've been doing this for 6 years now. Started just with filling school supply bags. It's grown quite a bit, the ways that you can be involved in it. And we want more of you to be involved with those. Unfortunately, it's because the needs in the community continue to go up. In fact, some of the markers and statistics show some of those issues have gone up by double digits just in the last couple years. Okay? And so in Matthew 25, when Jesus says, "Brothers and sisters, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me," as a church, we take that very seriously. And so we're going to continue to work with the coalition of churches. We're going to continue to work with our schools. We want to partner with our local missions organizations and DCS as well, working with them because when a family is in crisis, a vulnerable child or family, who better to show up for them than the church, right? That's all of us. So we need more hands and feet being Jesus to our community. We want people that when we build those relationships with the schools, when we build relationships with those organizations and those families, that they truly see the church as a city on a hill, shining Christ's light, okay? So here's how you can be involved. It starts with an interest form, all right? I'm hoping that the QR code, you can get started on it right now, all right? I'll walk you through what those are. The school supply bags, okay? That's an easy one, right? You can fill that form out, choose how many bags you want, fill them. The list is on the bags. Those just need to be back by July 30th, okay? You can get those out at the table in the lobby, at the info center, or downstairs at the Sunlight check-in counter. All right? Super simple. Do that. Get those back, and we'll get those distributed. We've got 300 bags. Well, less than that, because we went through a lot of them after that first service. But that's what we did last year. We filled 300 bags of school supplies. So that's our goal for this year. Let's do that. I would love to see us blow through those, and we have to get more. Next, one of our local missions partners is Combined Community Services. They do an event called Tools for School. That allows K through 12 students to come through. They get a backpack. They can fill it with school supplies. The bags that we do through United Way are just going to the elementary schools. So middle school, high school, this is a great opportunity for them to be able to get some of those supplies that they need. And it alleviates some of that financial burden for families. But CCS needs help that day to put that event on. The day before, they need help with setup, and then during the event, replenishing the supplies at the tables, helping kids shop for those things. So you could check to learn more about that, all right? Lastly, then, it's learning about two of our ministry teams. One is Love Ed, our school support ministry team, and the other is Care Portal Response Team. We work with the schools, we work with our local partners, we work with DCS. So that way, throughout the year, the needs aren't just at the beginning of the school year. It's happening all year long. You're not signing up and you're not committing to anything. It's just checking to learn more about them. Once you're on that list, we'll touch base with you. We let you know, hey, there's a need that's come through. Sometimes it's literally to pray for a staff member, right, from a school that's reached out to us and said, I need somebody to pray for me. That's not hard, but it goes a long way. It means a lot to that person that may be struggling. When a child is removed from the home and it's staying with a grandparent, and that grandparent doesn't know what they're supposed to do, and they've got all these things that they've got to be able to do, if we can step in to help alleviate some of those needs, right? Because what one of the things that behind all of this, we trust that when God opens a door and allows us to meet that physical need, we know he's already working well ahead of us to where we can help meet spiritual needs as well. That's what the heart of this is about. So we just need more people being the hands and feet of Christ, okay? So those are the ways you can get involved. However you choose to be involved, I just want to say thank you very much, because it truly does. It takes the Big C Church, it takes a village to care for each other, okay? So thank you for participating, however you choose to do that. And also going to say thank you for your generosity in giving. However you do that, just want to say thank you, because it makes a difference here in the church so we can do ministries we have out in the community and around the world. Now we're going to worship, spend the rest of our time in worship, but I'm going to ask you to stand, because before we worship, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the school year. We're going to pray for students and staff and volunteers that are going to Momentum next week, and also for kids going to camp. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this church. We thank you for the freedom we have to gather and to worship you. Lord, we lift up and pray for those that don't have that freedom. Father, I also want to pray for the staff and the counselors, the volunteers, and the students that are going to Momentum next week and Camp with an Impact the following week. Lord, I just humbly come before you and ask that those would be pivotal weeks for all of them involved. That it would be a milestone and a marker they can look back on in their spiritual journey. That they grew closer to you and to each other. We trust that you're already in those places and working in their lives. We ask for safe travels and just a joyous time. Father, we also lift up staff, teachers, kids, families for the school year. Some families are sending kids to school for the first time, and that comes with all kinds of emotions. Some are sending kids for their final year. Lord, we lift them to you. We lift the staff and the teachers when those days are hard. When what they signed up for was to teach, they're caring for kids that are hurting. May we step in and be burdened the way you are and see them the way you see them. To step in and be the church. Lord, we pray for safety and joy and learning and growth. And for those kids and staff and students that don't yet know you, continue to pursue them. And may we that do know you step in to share the hope of the gospel with them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.
Welcome, WCC. I tell you, I find so much joy. It is so refreshing to be back here with y'all and to see y'all. And just thank you for being so faithful. This week, we are starting a three-week series on the book of Philemon, on practical grace. And we thought that before diving into that, we ought to just, you know what, read this short book together as a body before Todd comes out and delivers the message today. And so if you'll please open your copy of God's Word, whether that's print, whether that's digital, we'll also have the words on the screen here behind me, and just follow along with me. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and to the church that meets in your house. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do, but because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. I wanted to keep him here with me while I am in these chains for preaching the good news, and he would have helped me on your behalf, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. It seems you lost Onesimus for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave. For he is a beloved brother, especially to me. And now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to me. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. And I won't mention that you owe me your very soul. Yes, my brother, please do this favor for the Lord's sake. Give me this encouragement in Christ. I am confident as I write this letter that you will do what I ask and even more. One more thing. Please prepare a guest room for me, for I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends his greeting, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this beautiful letter from Paul to Philemon and the practical grace that you demonstrate to us that we can have as well, all because of your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Todd, and just be with him in his message today and prepare all of our hearts to receive the message of grace that you have for us in Jesus. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. Amen.
Thanks, Dan. Philemon, you familiar with that book, that chapter? You know, I find it interesting that This is the shortest letter that Paul wrote. And you think about a Romans or a 1st or 2nd Corinthians, he starts it off by telling them and reminding them, I'm an apostle. Because he is dealing with error in the church. The church is not functioning the way it should. They're allowing things that they shouldn't. But in Philemon, he doesn't mention his apostleship. The way he introduces himself as a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. And what was he in prison for? He was in prison because he preached the gospel. Now, Philemon was a beneficiary of Paul preaching the gospel. Paul had led Philemon to Christ. And Philemon is walking with Christ. He's following the Lord. And he also got to lead someone else to Christ because he was preaching the gospel. And that's Onesimus. And so we see this connection, this bond. And Paul is not correcting. He's challenging. So I hope today we're all challenged in this book that maybe you've read once or twice but never really looked at. And I can just tell you, this is short and it's sweet. And let me tell you, it is powerful. It's been speaking to my heart. And as I was studying and I was reading and thinking about it and praying over it, I realized something that I wanted to ask from all of you, because I need something from you. I need something from you. And it's something that you also need, and that's grace. I need your grace. We need to extend grace to other people. I need you to extend grace to me when I do things or say things often that you might find offensive or maybe even hurtful. I need grace. When I don't measure up, I need grace. When I'm selfish, I need grace. I need it from you. And you need it from others. I think we all recognize this. It's been interesting as I've been in ministry 34 years now and recognizing that people that recognize how much grace they've received from God through Christ often is a determining factor of how willing and ready they are to extend grace to others. And that shouldn't be. What should be is that we all understand how much grace we have received from Christ. That we were enslaved to our sin. We were running away from God. Scripture actually says we were his enemy. We were actually fighting against what he was wanting. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's grace. That's grace being demonstrated. In fact, the title of this message is Practical Grace. It's very practical. It's very real. It's very tangible. And as a church, at least I hope and believe that we are known as a church that's full of grace. That the message of grace is preached consistently and faithfully. That we've always talked about grace and salvation, particularly, and how we are undeserved. We don't deserve God's goodness and his love. We didn't deserve Christ to die for me. For you. We don't deserve that. And that's what grace is. It's undeserved favor. It's undeserved merit. And we see that in salvation. But we also see it then in our identity. I don't deserve to be called a child of God. I did nothing for that. I don't deserve to be called a saint. In fact, that's something else I'd ask from you. Maybe in the future you could call me Saint Todd instead of Reverend or Pastor or whatever, or just Todd, Saint Todd. Let's get that going. And you know what? That's how I'm described by my father. That's how you're described as from your father. That's what he says about it. I've been redeemed. I've been bought back by the Holy Spirit. That's grace. You know, there is a difference between mercy and grace, right? Mercy is kind of on this end of the spectrum. It's not getting what you deserve. I've been shown mercy before. You know, you take a test and you fail. Maybe that's not your experience, but that was mine. I had to stay eligible, so I needed a D-. So mercy was me not getting what I deserved, which was an F, and the teacher, Fred Stone, also basketball coach, gave me a D-. That's mercy. I didn't get what I deserved. But grace would have been giving me an A. They don't deserve that either. It's way beyond what I deserve. It's undeserved favor. It's unmerited. I didn't do the work. I didn't do the work. Grace is when we get something good, this gift that we do not deserve. Often happens when we offend somebody. You ever offend somebody? Nobody? Well, why don't you come up here and talk for a half hour? We'll see how that goes for you. Okay? You will. That's why I need grace. You offend people. You hurt people. Sometimes, like me, you're selfish. And you need grace, and I need grace. We all need grace. And it needs to be very practical. It's not just for our salvation. It's not just in the spiritual realm. It's for everyday life. This is the challenge, and Paul's not correcting an error because here's a Philemon, and he loves Jesus. He's following Jesus. We just heard that as Dan read, like all those things, all those positives. And that's what I can say about this church, positive things. God is at work. He's moving in your hearts. He's changing our minds. He's transforming us. I pray and believe that today we're a better representative of Christ than we were last week even because he's at work in our hearts. He's at work in us. As a family, as brothers and sisters. You know, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to deal with was when somebody wouldn't show me grace. And I did something wrong. Sinful. Shouldn't have done it. Wish I hadn't done it. But I did. And I was begging for grace. I know I didn't deserve it. I was begging to be forgiven. And that was withheld. It's horrible. Painful. And I wasn't begging for it because I demand or I'm coming with authority. I just needed it. It's not come yet. And I'm praying someday that it will. And with that grace extended, you know what happens? The relationship is right. It's restoration. It's right relationship. And without grace being extended, you cannot have a relationship with another human being. And to the extent that you show that grace, you demonstrate that grace, you live out that grace, is the depth and the quality of your relationships, my relationships, our relationship with each other, your relationship with me. It's the extension of that grace. So that is it in a nutshell. But I wanted to go ahead and look at a couple things. And I can't let it pass what Paul said. He says, like, I'm not even going to mention. Did you catch that part? I'm not even going to mention that you owe me your very soul. And he mentions it. I love that. I love that. I'm not going to mention that I translated the Bible, but I hope I don't need to mention. I'm going to be using that, so be looking for that. Learned it from the Bible, so I think I'm in good company. I'm not going to mention, but the title of this series is Practical Grace, and each week we're going to look at about 7-8 verses, and we're going to see grace in maybe a different light and in a different person. So the first 7 chapters, what we hope to cover this morning, is really about reconciliation. Things being made right. It's about grace. It's about forgiveness and reconciliation. My need to be forgiven when I did wrong. I don't deserve that, but man, do I need it. Man, do I want it. And then we'll get into next week. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 16. And that is really about Paul being a peacemaker. Now, when you think about Paul, what do you think of? Peacemaker? It seems like everywhere he went, he caused trouble. In fact, he's in prison for what? For preaching the gospel. But now we see him writing a letter, not as an apostle, but as a friend. Not to correct someone, but to challenge and encourage. And maybe you've never even read Philemon. Maybe you've only read it a few times and can't remember what's in there. But it is short and sweet, and it is powerful, and it helps us not just to not judge, but to love. Not to condemn, but to forgive. It's powerful. And then the last few verses, 17 through 25, talks just about the demonstration of grace. You know, for all of our talk about this being a grace-centered church, right? Because we're centered on Christ, and he is full of grace, and he's full of truth. That we look at that, and we're saying, man, that's who we want to be. We want to emulate Christ, being full of grace and full of truth. That's who I want to be. Isn't that who you want to be? Isn't that how we want to be known? And not just known, but isn't that how we want to live? That is for me. I believe it is for you. And together we might be described that way and thought about in those ways because we are demonstrating this grace that we've received. And so, let's introduce these three characters. Paul, we know a fair bit about. What we now know is he's old. His eyesight is failing. He's in prison. And he said, hey, get a guest room ready for me. He's not going to get there, guys. He's not going to need it. He's not going to make it. He's at the end. And then we see Onesimus. Now, shouldn't we just call him Little O? Hey, Little O, L-I-L-O, Little O. Onesimus, this guy's a thief and a runaway slave. He'd done wrong. And the person he'd done wrong against was Philemon. And Philemon and Onesimus had something in common. Wasn't their status in life? Wasn't their situation in life? It's not that Onesimus was the only one who'd ever offended or done wrong. Wasn't Philemon lived this perfect life? No, no, no. That they both knew Christ. So Paul's going to appeal to them based on his relationship with them, but also more importantly, their relationship with Christ. Because a relationship with Christ changes everything. We're a new creature, a new creation. And so now our relationship isn't based on social status or economic status, wealth, poverty. It's as brother and sister, or sister to sister, or sister to brother. That's what we see in here, and the richness of it, the depth, that he's no longer going to be a slave. Paul's going to ask him, take this thieving runaway slave back as a brother, not as a slave, as a brother. And don't just show mercy to him by not having be put to death or thrown in prison. Extend grace to him and treat him how you would treat me, the person who led you to Christ, who loves you so much. That's grace. Treat Onesimus the way you would treat me. Treat him the way Christ has treated him. That's what we're going to see in this. And so these are the three characters. And I want to challenge you as we go through this series, just be thinking who you most relate to. I certainly have been all three of these people. Mostly Onesimus. The offender, right? He's the one that's done wrong. But he came to Christ. And Christ forgave him completely and fully. And now Christ says, you're my brother. And God says, you're my son. You're my child. You're redeemed. You are a saint. You're holy. You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You have the Holy Spirit, my spirit living in you. That's Onesimus now. And sometimes I've offended people. I shared a little bit of that. That's not the only time. It happens. And Philemon is following Christ, But he's going to be challenged now to live out grace practically. Like us, I believe Philemon understood grace and his salvation. He knew that it was an undeserved merit, grace. He didn't deserve heaven, eternity, becoming a child of God, being forgiven. He knew he didn't deserve any of that. And he knew that. And he trusted in Christ. And he now receives all these things. And that's his new identity. Philemon has a new identity, just like we have a new identity. And that's why we talk about birth truth, the truth necessary to understand so we can trust Christ for our salvation. Identity truth, who we now are. Not how we feel, not what other people might say about us, but what God, our Father, says about us. That's our identity truth. So when I say I'm a saint and you snicker, and I'm holy and you snicker, that's because you're seeing the outside. You're not seeing who Christ says I am. And I'm not saying I don't have sin or I fail and I fall. I do. But my position and my identity is now in Christ Jesus, forgiven, saved, redeemed. But then there's grace to grow. And that's what this is talking about. You know, there's two different camps. One is people who are really strong in their doctrine, and I like doctrine. And doctrine is kind of this a view of Scripture. It's an understanding of Scripture. People who love Scripture, people who study Scripture, professors, theologians, they study God's Word. They know God's Word. It's so good. There's churches like that that have the purest doctrine you could imagine. And yet, they don't live it out. It's not practical. They can talk about grace. They can define it way better than I tried. They can really parse the words between mercy and grace and what it is and wasn't, what it isn't. They can. But do they live it out? And on the other hand, you have this other side of the spectrum where people who don't know anything, but they do love Jesus, and they're kind of running out there, who knows what they're going to do, what they're going to say, when they're going to do it. To be honest, I'd take that over this other. But you know, we're called to know him. Because in knowing him, we know the power of the resurrection. That doctrine is important. But what's equally important is our theology, meaning how we live out our life, how we put it into practice. That's what we're going to see in Philemon. So, verse 1. This letter is from Paul, a prisoner for preaching the good news about Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to Philemon, our beloved co-worker, and to our sister Apphia, and to our fellow soldier Archippus, and the church that meets in your home. Philemon is on track. They're meeting, and Paul's writing him as a friend, someone that he actually led to Christ. And then it says this, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. This is God's divine enablement. This is something that Paul mentions almost every letter, and even on a personal one. The way that we're going to extend grace to others is not within ourselves. That's not how we're wired as human beings. We might give somebody that earns something something, but to extend grace, that's going to require the Holy Spirit in it. This is a divine enablement, the power, his power in us to change how we think, to change how we see other people, to see other people the way Christ sees them. That's really what I was asking for when I said grace. I want you to see me the way Christ sees me. Forgiven, redeemed. He's always ready to extend grace, grace and truth. So as we think about that truth that we have to make it practical in our lives, we need his divine enablement. Verses 4 through 6 say this, I always thank my God when I pray for you, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. And I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. That's that doctrine versus theology. That's, I know this in the Bible. I've read it. I understand it right here. But now I'm experiencing that. I'm putting it into action. And we are called to action as his children. And what is that action? It's not just to see people the way Christ sees people. It's to act the way he acted towards sinners like you and me. This book is really about inside the church. The way that we're supposed to be relating to each other is one of putting the generosity of Christ, and based on all that we know about him, into action so that we could experience it. And you can experience it, and I can experience, not just from God, but from each other. That's what he's getting towards, and it says this: I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. Maybe you're thinking of a situation your own where someone has hurt you. They've done wrong. They shouldn't have done it that way. They shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have acted that way. What would putting your faith in Jesus Christ look like? And let me remind you how much you have been forgiven. How much has Christ forgiven you? All of it. You know what it cost him? His life. Everything. That's grace. That's who's calling us. That's who Paul is referring to. Put your faith into action. This action is demonstrate that grace the way that I, Jesus Christ, demonstrated it against sinners who offended me, even those who crucified him on the cross. Father, forgive them. That's grace. We don't extend grace because someone deserves it, or it wouldn't be grace. We extend it when they don't deserve it because we have been forgiven everything. He holds no offense against us. He loves us completely and perfectly. My sin is under the blood. I'm forgiven. I've been redeemed. So we think about that redemption. That's what we have. How could we ever not extend grace after all the grace we've received? Do you know how much? I've mentioned this, but I know people that have lived really hard lives, and we'd be like, wow, man, God is so powerful. He saved them. And they somehow, because of their experience, are much more likely to extend grace to others. Wow, God is so powerful, he could save even them. Let me tell you something. God is so powerful, he could save even me. And he did. By giving his life. That's how much I needed his grace, and that's what it cost him, and he willingly paid it. How can we withhold that from each other? We can talk about grace and forgiveness. The demonstration of that is to put it into action so that it's practical. It's lived out. It's not just a word we kind of throw around or we put in our core values or mission statements or whatever it is. We live it out. Verse 7 says this: Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. You know, when we're living that way, it refreshes the hearts of God's people. And don't you need your heart refreshed? I do. I know you do. We're going to watch a short video that really describes this. Someone going through something, and then someone else just responding, and just be there to listen, to encourage, to love, not as an authority, and I know more than you know. I have this authority, I have this degree. No, no, no. I love Jesus. He loves me. You know Jesus. He loves you. And let's encourage each other's hearts. So this is about a Stephen ministry, and you'll get to watch it. So go ahead and play that.
Hi, my name is Shirley Wilson. I have the privilege of being a Stephen minister for almost 10 years. The very first time I heard about Stephen ministry, God put it on my heart to know that that was where he wanted me to be immediately.
Hi, I'm Mary Pat Wallen. I've been in WCC for 15 years and been in Warsaw all my life. When Shirley and I met, I was pretty much swimming in uncharted territory, sinking fast, and everything was spiraling out of control. I wasn't able to sleep, just a bunch of static that kept me in a constant state of anxiety.
When I first met Mary Pat, she was overwhelmed with life. Her life had been turned upside down. What I quickly learned is that it was my presence that she needed. She needed me to listen.
I'm amazed to this day. I was in a lot of counseling over the years, but to have somebody listen and go from my mind and speak it, that's the part that healed. That's what took over on me, and I became a different person over the course of 6 months with Shirley. So the strength came from her listening and me just speaking it. And once it rolled off my tongue, it was like, it was said, it's behind me, let's move on.
I saw her get control of her life back. I saw her find peace with our Lord Savior.
Over time, there was a peacefulness that came about. She walked with me through a difficult time, and she encouraged me with spiritual quotes. We prayed together before, after. If I had an issue, I could text her, and she would be spiritually sound and encouraging with every time we spoke or when we met. So,
I think if you are in need, I think you need to remember that Stephen Minister is there for you. They will walk beside you. Their presence is a gift for you.
My biggest concern when I sought out Stephen Ministry was it's a small town. Everybody knows you, and all of my issues might be exposed, and I was very vulnerable, but I was in a safe spot with somebody I trusted and didn't know, came to love her. Stephen Ministry was a safe and confidential place for me to be.
I think I got out of it just as much as she did, knowing that I walked with her through a difficult time.
I was way beyond my comfort zone doing this interview or video. But if just one person could be helped by it, that's what it's all about. That is what Christ does. That's what we do as a community. We all need somebody to hold our hand. And Stephen Ministry, Shirley, they were all beside me every step of the way.
Wow, isn't that amazing? God is at work all around us, in us, and through us. Did you notice how both were so soft-spoken? I'm like trying to lean in to hear that. But we got to see their heart. That extension of grace, just recognizing I need help, and I'll listen. That's Stephen Ministry, and that's happening, and there's more that's going to be happening. Stop out at the Info Center if you want more information or take a What's Going On flyer. We all go through places where we need someone to be there for us, to extend His grace, to live that grace out, to be there with us and for us. I hope you're encouraged. I hope that you're challenged. Maybe you are thinking of someone specifically that God is stirring in your heart that you need to extend grace to. Can I just tell you, when you do, that will be so freeing for you. That will bring you peace that maybe you haven't had for a while because of it. Just following him, responding to that challenge. Philemon's going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. We are challenged, I hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you're doing in our lives. Lord, I'm so grateful to be a part of your church here at WCC, around people who know how to extend grace. And God, I pray that we would just grow in our understanding of what that is, to live it out, to put it into action, that we would do that in these walls and outside of these doors and into this community, that we would share the grace that you've given us, that we wouldn't withhold it from anyone because you didn't withhold it from us. We love you so much, are so grateful. We pray for momentum, the kids going to be revived and encouraged and to focus on the Lord. We pray for heart and life change within camp and that impact all those that are involved, that they would serve lovingly, faithfully, graciously, and that many would come to Christ, come to know you and experience that forgiveness and your grace. I pray that others would decide to follow you more closely. We're so grateful. We love you, and in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great afternoon and a great week.